Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live, right here on Labor Day. Oh my goodness. Now look, this is a great day to declare your new life. You know, things can happen in September that maybe won't happen in January. We're back in the swing of things. And when I say we, I'm talking about you listeners, and I'm talking about Chris Williams, and I'm talking about Alice Benton. Oh my goodness. Make this, declare this a new beginning, no matter what it is you're doing. Hi guys, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've always considered this much more a New Year's transition than January 1st. I just think, you know, you're coming out of summer, thinking one way, and then now you're in the thick of it all. And, of course, my wife and I, we always celebrate our kids going back to school by going swimming or doing something really fun together, showing how badly we miss them. Anyway, it's a great day for new stuff. Yeah. You were going to say something, Alice?
I like the restart idea, because as we parents perhaps have a little space away from our children and they're back in school, we have more mental capacity to self-evaluate and to consider what needs a refresh in our lives.
Yeah. Well, it's a day to honor hardworking people. And Thomas Jefferson said, you know, I'm a great believer in luck. And I find the harder I work, the more luck I have. Mm-hmm. Now, that's really pretty true. And I believe that. The Anonymous wrote this. Dr. Anonymous, right out of Pittsburgh, said, "The man who rolls up his shirt sleeves is rarely in danger of losing his shirt." Well, there you go.
That's great.
No wonder he lives there in Pittsburgh.
And Steve, it reminds me, I've been reading back through. You actually, in a previous show, had quoted from Ecclesiastes. And I've been rereading that lately. And I find that we have this great wisdom out of there. And, you know, Solomon says, after all of my observations, like he kind of sits back maybe in his older age and says, hey, I'm looking at the human condition. And he says, it's of worth to enjoy your work. He says, if there's a lot of meaninglessness in the world, but it's important that you enjoy your work. And I actually, ironically, find, especially for myself, the more I honor rest, the more I enjoy my work.
Yeah.
So Labor Day, I want us to consider that. It is a day off for most of us, maybe not all of us, but if we can respect that rest helps us find enjoyment in our work. And we're created for joy, and we're created to enjoy. In the midst of the toil, it's important that we find something meaningful and enjoyable about what we do.
Yeah. Well, one more quote about Labor Day. Doug Larson said, if all the cars in the United States were placed end to end, it would probably be Labor Day weekend. So there are things. You know, 1 Thessalonians 3:10, look at that one. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We honor the folks who go to work every day or open up the computer and work from home. It's a great honor to work. And we're so grateful to be in a country where we can actually choose the work we're going to do. Not true in many places. 1-800-229-3000 if you would like to join us on this program In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Kirk Cameron about the new movie, Life Mark. It's about adoption. It took me about 15 minutes into it before I was tearing up. And being the father, being an adoptive dad, of a 31-year-old amazing human being, Madeline, who just blows me away. I mean, she's just so fantastic. This is a movie everybody will love. You'll have to cry two or three times to get through this. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Alice Benton, Dr. Alice Benton, Chris Williams, and our special guest. I'm so delighted to have Kirk Cameron with us. Kirk, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great to talk with. How are you?
Doing okay. I just think you're one of the bravest, most courageous believers in the world. You've been in a lot of movies. But, Kirk, this is really an amazing, amazing movie. And you know stuff. You're an amazing actor. I don't think, I didn't think this was Kirk Cameron in this movie. I just thought you were this amazing dad. When you think about it, what was it in doing that movie that moved you the most?
First of all, thanks for your patience. I'm up in the woods in the mountains here, and so our connection has us maybe delayed just a bit. But this is such a special movie on a couple of different levels for me personally. I mean, I was in the movie Fireproof, and marriage was important to me. It still is. My wife and I have been married for 31 years. We have 6 children, grandkids, I hope, are on the way. But in our culture today, who would have thought that Roe versus Wade would be overturned? And right on the heels of this monumental Supreme Court decision, here comes a movie in the theaters that celebrates the value of life in the womb and the beauty of adoption.
Yeah,
I mean, this is so providentially timed, I can hardly believe it. And then also, my wife and I have 6 children. 4 of them are adopted, and my wife is an adopted child. So they were all one doctor away from not existing. And if my wife hadn't been born, either would our 2 natural-born children be in this world.
There you go. Oh, it's just such a... That's so cool to hear that. I love hearing
now,
that.
Yeah. This true story that is coming to life on the screen is it's a movie about the agonizing choice of a young lady in a difficult spot, about the joy of a couple starting a new family, and the journey of a young man wanting to discover the beginnings of his... And, it'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry, it's got heart and humor, lots of action. It's just a wonderful movie. I'm so excited it's coming out.
Well, Kirk, I am an adoptive father of a 31-year-old incredible... I mean, Madeline is just one of the greatest people I've ever known, and I'm so thankful. And, of course, I paid for an abortion, and her birth parents didn't have an abortion, and I'm so thankful God gave back to me the very thing I destroyed, and I'm so grateful for adoption, and that's such a great part of this movie. I got to tell you, it was 15 minutes in, and the birth mother calls up the potential adoptive mom and asks her a question about how she baits her hook in fishing. And I just lost it because she had put on the thing that she loved fishing, and that adoptive mother wanted to be sure these folks were the real deal. And I went through that with our birth parents of Madeline, and it just meant so much to me. It's such an incredible thing when those parents, the birth parents, want to be sure their baby's in the right place. And all of the movie is such a redemptive story, and as you say, true story, but not just true in the movie. It happens thousands of times in a year in this country, and I'm grateful for that. Now, Kirk, you and your wife have adopted these kids, and they're, I suppose, great kids. Why do you think people don't consider that option so much? It's such a great option.
Well, Well, it is a great option. Adoption is at the heart of God. He adopts us into his family,
not because
we're children by blood or by DNA, by right or by moral status or any other qualifier. God chooses to bestow his love on us, and when we respond in faith, we become his sons and daughters. And if that's at the heart of God, it should be at the center of our hearts as well, especially as believers. I've learned that many women who are facing an unplanned pregnancy would rather abort their child than place their child for adoption because they think that adoption is morally worse. It makes them feel, many women, like they're a bad mother for what appears to be abandoning their child. So they'd rather just take care of it before it's born.
Mm.
But LifeMark demonstrates that a pregnancy, even one that is unplanned, can be redeemed by God to bring so much joy and purpose to the world. Think of Jesus. He was the result of an unplanned pregnancy from Mary's human perspective.
Yep.
But of course, God's perspective, Jesus is the Savior of the world, and Joseph had to step up to the plate in faith and stay with Mary, and he adopted that boy into his family. Think of Moses. He was going to be aborted by government decree, and yet God had different plans for him through his adoption. And of course, that's true religion, taking care of widows and orphans, the fatherless, in their time of distress. So if people will take a step of faith, we can begin to heal and restore the family through God's answer to abortion and fatherlessness and the breakdown of the family through adoption as one of the many ways that we can begin to heal the family and heal our culture.
Well, Kirk, it is so wonderful to hear that you know your stuff about adoption because you've got these kids, but you're so articulate. You're not just an actor, but you're so articulate about this. And, you know, I'll just mention this about adoption in the Bible. In the Old Testament, a father could disown his son. Just say, you're not my son anymore. But if he adopted a son, he could not disown his adopted son. It was actually a stronger bond than the birth son. That's why it is with God. He adopts us in, and he's not going to let us go. Anything else you want to add before we go, Kirk?
Love
Thank you for
it.
Joining us. But it's a wonderful movie. What would you like to say as we close out?
Well, I am so grateful to be talking with you. I'm so grateful for the work that you have done over the decades and to help us with issues in the family as men and women and marriage and everything. I would say that for people who are looking at our culture and wondering, what can I do? How can I be a part of a solution? Well, one of the things that we recognize that the stories we tell shape the hearts and minds of people, particularly young people.
Yeah.
And this is a story, LifeMark, that celebrates the value of life. It's not a giant political statement. It's not about the ugliness of abortion. It's about the beauty of someone taking a step of faith and having a little choice can impact the lives of countless people. And it's a movie that is pro-abundant life, pro-family, pro-love, pro-forgiveness and reconciliation and new beginnings. So bring your friends, bring your church group, your small group, and go see this movie to support the stories that can actually champion and nourish life.
Amen. Kirk, one final question. I don't see it. Do you know the premiere date on the movie? I missed it in my notes here. Maybe I'll find out before the end of the program.
So if by the premiere, meaning when is it initially available in movie theaters, that's September 9th.
Okay,
and
perfect.
It will be in theaters for at least 5 days. But going to see it opening weekend is key because that's when the theaters decide whether or not to keep it longer and open it up to more theaters. So if at all possible, go see LifeMark September 9th or 10th, which is opening weekend.
Well, I just want you to know, I have often said about some movie, or a Christian movie especially, the message is really good, you just have to overlook the crummy acting in there. And that is not true about this movie. Right. It is so, it is not your typical
Christian. And I've been Christian. In some of
those movies. No, that's hilarious. No, but you will not be disappointed. And thank you, Kirk, for joining us. God bless you, your wife, your kids. We just pray that God continues to give you that spirit of courage. You are a great, great man, and I'm so proud to have you on the program. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, brother, you're so kind and gracious to me. I feel like I'm the C student talking to the A student when it comes to faithfulness. And so thank you very much, and God bless you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Kirk. Well, you just have to go see this, everybody. And as he said, September 9th is the day to go, because it really matters when that movie is available first. So we believe in this movie. When you see it, you'll go, oh, well, no wonder New Life was talking about that movie. It is fantastic. It is wonderful.
Steve, we women and our daughters need this reminder that there is another solution to an unplanned pregnancy, no matter how it has come about, and that there is a better hope in God's way of handling an unexpected pregnancy. So
yes,
mothers, please bring your daughters to see this movie.
Do. It's wonderful. Gene has been holding on a long time, Fort Worth, Texas, Sirius XM. Gene, how you doing? And thanks for holding on. How could we help you today?
A diesel truck just pulled up near me, so I hope you can still hear me.
Okay, we can. Love it.
We're in Texas, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little background before I ask my question. There's a Harley going by me too. my husband had a stroke in 2013, and he is completely functional. No one could even tell that he has the issue. Only me. We were married 30 years at the time. What happened is it changed his personality totally.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to work 5 more years, and then he was kind of let go out of a 40-year engineering career. So my problem is I never know who I'll wake up to. He can be very kind and loving, or then he can turn and kind of be belligerent and very almost racist, politically angry. It can switch either way.
And you didn't see this before the stroke, is that right? It wasn't there before the stroke. Okay.
And Gene, is he aware of the change in himself?
That's a very good question, and no, I don't believe so. Not at all.
When he is belligerent, how do you respond to that?
Well, that's the reason I'm calling in. There's many times, you know, as a Christian, I find myself always saying, "Forgive him," because he knows not what he's doing, which is the truth, I believe. There's times lately that he's crossed boundaries, and that's another reason I'm calling in. We got an RV. We went camping because I thought this would be really good for us. He can step up. He knows how to hook it up. He knows how the ins and outs. But we were in a situation in traffic, and I said something like kindly, I said, "You don't have a stop sign," or something like that, and there was cuss words and yelling at me, and he can't multitask, so that was very complicated for him to listen to me and watch the traffic.
Okay.
And so I guess I had to talk to him and say this is not acceptable. So that's kind of the answer to your question. I will talk to him if he crosses boundaries.
Well,
yeah.
what is your question for us?
What direction can I take my feelings with what's going on, since I just don't know what to expect?
Okay.
And so it's tearing me up inside.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I got a couple ideas for you. We will take this break. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And a gift of any amount, we're going to send you 100 days to freedom from shame. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we are talking with Gene. Gene, did you say that the stroke happened in 2013?
That's correct.
Okay. So you've been living this with for quite some time. Have you ever, or has he ever gotten any kind of help that would make these symptoms better?
He will not go to a doctor. He has diabetes, which he had been diagnosed not long before the stroke happened. So the only reason he goes is to renew his medicine for diabetes. He just refuses to. And all the typical things that a wife would ask in situations like this, just not too long ago, he told me his mother died 5 years ago. He doesn't need another mother. And it's pretty hard.
Gene, can I interrupt really quickly? Let me jump in. Was it type one or type one or type two?
I get them mixed up. He doesn't give himself shots. So it's the better one of the two.
but he up. was he born with it?
No.
Okay, that's helpful. That's very helpful. Okay.
So what do you think, Chris? What's the best you have for her?
I think the stroke has an effect. But I think that your husband has been carrying around unresolved issues in his own life, anger problems before the stroke. I think the stroke probably accentuated that, made it worse. But what he is not doing, because it's too easy to scapegoat his behavior on the stroke. And again, I don't want to dismiss that, but I also want to say, hey, listen, even if that's the cause, he has a responsibility to manage it and to do everything he can to manage it, which comes back to you need safety in the relationship, because every relationship based on intimacy starts with safety. And so the mothering approach might be different. You're not going to mother him, but what you're going to say as a grown woman is that, just as you've said, this behavior is not okay. This is what I'm observing. And for us to be close and for us to continue to build our life into these years together, this is something that needs to be addressed, and you need to do something to address it.
Okay, and what if he refuses?
Then I think it's time to strategize how you will limit your exposure to him. You will probably have to start drawing back from him in some ways, hoping that your absence on different levels motivates him to make a better choice about the doctor. How infuriating and crazy-making that he will not see a doctor. And I agree with Chris. It is so likely that the seizure did affect his brain. We know that extreme personality changes can take place after there is brain damage. So that's certainly documented. Mm-hmm. But his unwillingness to get help when the brain has plasticity, it can be renewed. And there are different parts of the brain that can take over for another damaged portion of the brain. But it does take particular and pointed action to help heal the brain. And I would consider, even though I know he's refusing at this point, but biofeedback. And eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, our own Dr. Amen and brain scans. There's so many ways to see what happened to his brain and what can we do to improve it. But you'll likely have to require it and back away from him if he is unwilling to get the help that he needs.
So yeah, I really
require it.
I feel badly for you. I feel badly for you because you live with him and you have really made peace or kept the peace. And, you know, God doesn't honor peace keepers. He honors peace makers. And you're going to have to do something for your husband to live in peace within himself, which then, of course, is going to make life more peaceful for you. It's going to be hard, but I would do this first. I would research and find the best resource for, you could say, brain restoration after a stroke or emotional stabilization after a stroke. He's not the only one that this has kind of tipped the balance here, and all that stuff that was already in him starting to come out. But I would find the best resource possible. You live in Dallas-Fort Worth. There are so many great resources there. I would do that, and then I would talk with the resource, be sure you think they can help, and then I would tell him, this is what I've found for you, this is what I'm going to take you to, and if you don't, then you've got to figure out what you're willing to do if he doesn't. But the more forceful you can be, the more you can demand of him, even though he won't do a thing, you have to come up with a consequence for him not doing it. And that's the tough part. And I hate to see how hard this will be for you, but it's going to take a hard thing to produce a good thing, a new thing for him. Chris.
And Gene, you had mentioned that, like, this behavior from him has built up inside of you. And that's a great question. What do I do about this? You got to offload it. I would seek out a really good therapist in your area to help you work through what your insides are carrying as a result of his behavior, as well as what Alice was saying, is how do I start implementing and negotiating protection around proper boundaries? And that's a skill we got to learn. It's typically not something that we come to the table already having.
Well, some of you listening, you know, you got to ask yourself, are you him? And are you missing out on something redeeming?
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And I hope, Gene, I'm going to send you every man's Bible. I hope he will read that. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, because you don't want to be owned by this horrific thing. You want to resolve it. I hope it'll give you the courage to do that. So I'm so glad you called and hung in there with us. It's not easy. Oh my goodness. Life is hard. And a lot of folks are miserable because they don't expect it to be difficult. But it's going to be difficult. We have to do whatever we need to do to make it better. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. What do you have for us today, Larry?
Steve, Every Man's Battle's coming up this weekend.
Yes.
And it is such an amazing workshop. I have a testimony from a man who went to Zoom workshop, Every Man's Battle, last year.
What did that man say, Larry? Tell us.
He said, I can't believe how much more I got out of the workshop a second time. Mm. I signed up online for Zoom session under the assumption that it was better than nothing. And while I still think that to be true, I also can't help but emphasize the power I had experienced from being in person this time around. I was still able to retain the information like Zoom. However, the emotional impact was far more profound. I thank God I thank God I came back to experience this because of the time and effort I dedicated through the weekend helped me dig deeper into fighting battle. Mm. With regards to my group and group facilitator, this was arguably my favorite part of the experience. I felt as though my group clicked almost instantly. My group was able to bond, process, and communicate, and at the same time, laugh. While our facilitator was able to keep discussions productive and professional, I couldn't be more grateful.
That's awesome. That's why we do what we do. I love that.
And guys, you may have never gone before, come to this workshop. If you've gone to Zoom and you want to experience it again, come. If you want to come and be in our alumni group, it's called Brothers in the Battle, you're welcome to do that. Call our call center and they'll tell you how to go about it. Mm-hmm. But you will be in a process group with other guys, other alumni, all together with one of our counselors.
So. And the thing that I see coming out of this is you leave without shame. Mm-hmm. You leave with a plan to be a man of integrity and the support and the tools you've never had before. It's almost like it's fortunate you have a problem that you get to go to this and discover what it's like to be a godly man with other godly men. And if you want to come this weekend, September 9th, right there, Dallas, Texas, call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please, call us. Anything else, Larry?
Just thank you for those who have been giving to New Life and those who will give. I hope I'm talking to you that have never made a gift before and you want to pick up the phone and call or drop something in the mail to us. It'll be greatly appreciated, used. It'll be stewarded well, and it will help people who need help, who are hurting.
Yeah, and no pressure to give, but if you are driving and you're not giving, be extra careful in traffic. No, I'm just kidding. That we love, you know, it doesn't, don't give if you're not happy about giving.
Amen.
If you're not cheerful and happy about it, then it really isn't what God wants, but a cheerful giver. Oh my goodness, what a great thing.
But I will say, I was a listener who needed to feel a nudge and a guilt that I was receiving invaluable information and help for free as a listener, and I hadn't given for quite some time. So I nudge you folks that have felt that as well.
Well, I'm glad that you found your way on the air and then that you supported it also.
I'm glad somebody else guilted people into giving. So thank you, Alice.
Surely it wasn't me.
You're the one that guilted me into giving, Larry. And I forgive you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you could help us. Let's go to Joanne, Los Angeles, and we'll go to Oscar after this. Hey, Joanne, how can we help today? Listen on the app there.
Hi. So my question has to do with moving past trauma that happened within church leadership so that I can go back to ministry, because whenever I'm in that similar setting, I kind of panic. So to give context, 3 years ago I was on a church board, and the rule was we discuss things freely on the board, but once something was voted on, we present a united front regardless of personal opinion, and I agreed with this rule. Now, I didn't always vote as the pastor did, and I would state my stance, my reasoning, and he would always dismiss or minimize my concerns. He would say mm-hmm. stuff like, you just think that because of your upbringing or cultural background or experience, and it always made it seem like I came to that conclusion because I had a tainted paradigm.
Yeah, right.
And so, fast forward, I strongly oppose one of his plans, and the church is divided on this issue, and he's pretty much scolds the church board and says that, you know, you're so broken and you're so dysfunctional, and insinuates that individuals within the board have been talking to people outside of it. And so he ends this meeting, and I asked to be put on the agenda for the next board meeting to respond to his statements. And he says, I don't have that authority. And so I was like, well, I surrendered my voice to the board so that I could speak within the board. You know, I surrendered my voice as an individual so I could speak within the board. And now you're telling me I don't have the authority to even do that. And so
okay.
The next meeting rolls around, and he says, you know, he goes close to that topic, and I said, can we discuss this? And he says, no, you don't. You can't talk about this. And nobody else came in my defense. And these are people
okay.
who pretty much know me since I was 11.
Oh,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, ask us the question, because we hear this over and over again. How could we help you with a man who really is not a very good pastor at all.
So I left that church, and I moved to a new church, and this whole time I've just been feeling that things have been going great, and I just had this feeling of when is the axe going to fall? When are things going to turn sour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then a month ago, my pastor leaves, and I'm asked to be part of the church, the interview process for the new pastor.
Right.
And so this is the first time in 3 years I've said anything remotely close to leadership. And as soon as I say it, I'm just filled with so much anxiety, and like my stomach's turned sour, and I have this weight on my chest, and I don't want to approach ministry like that.
So Joanna, let me jump in. Okay, I want you to pay attention to that weight on your chest, okay? If that weight on your chest had a message about you, what would it say?
That your concerns aren't valid.
Exactly. That you don't matter. Because you brought up an opinion, you brought up a conviction, and your own identity was used against you. That's gaslighting at its worst form. Because your opinion has nothing to do with your background, your gender. It's just the conviction that you hold within you. And so when we use identities against us, that is a form of abuse. And so it makes sense that now it's not safe to be you anymore. It's not safe to be your gender. It's not safe to be your background. It's not safe to have your story and your experiences in life, because at any given point in time, that could be used against you. That's a traumatic experience. So it's really, really important that you're able to get into a space and start working through that. It's because your body cannot differentiate one church from another or one leader from another. All it's saying is that this is a dangerous place to be, and you can't speak up because your own identity is going to be used against you.
And let me say this. You have to grieve what was done to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't grieve that, you're going to continue to carry it around, and it's going to continue to make you anxious and continue to believe the worst about people. But God's given us this grieving process where we can let go of things. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing is that no person who is in ministry that's ignoring people or shaming people is doing what Jesus would do. Jesus noticed women. Jesus noticed sinful women. And he noticed women of honor. He ministered with women. And so this pastor is not representing the person that he's preaching about. And mm-hmm. I just want you to know this. It's easy to start to believe this is the way all churches are, this is the way all ministers are. It's just not true. Now, I'm going to send you mm-hmm. Toxic Faith, because it's got 21 rules of toxic faith churches and the roles that people play. You'll see that you have the most honored role, the role of outcast. And it's painful to be that, but you'd rather be that than follow something that doesn't represent Jesus. We'll have some more to say about this right after this. Joanne, I'm so glad you called, and I hope and pray that there's restoration for you ahead. I hope you'll join us in our Repurposed Life Conference, because we're going to be talking about these very things. When hurt derails us, we'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and before we go back to Joanne, you know, we do have a river cruise in October. You can still sign up. It's pretty exciting what we're going to do. They've taken off all the restrictions. All of the excursions that are so expensive are all included in this. Pretty amazing. You can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can also, and isn't this interesting that this is our giveaway, 8 principles for rebuilding trust after being betrayed. That's what I'll give you. I'll send one of these to Joanne. But Alice, you have some things to say to Joanne.
Oh, girl, I want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you because I want to remind you of a few things. Courage is one of the rarest of human characteristics, and you've got it in spades. Mm-hmm. Did you know that about yourself? You needed to be reminded. I'm so glad I'm the one to be able to do it with you. Oh, woman, you are willing to face your fear and to speak truth when it doesn't want to be heard and when it's not accepted, when it's rejected. And here you are trying again already? Already? Going back into a role of having a voice in a church? You can't be stopped. And the enemy wants to stop you. Because mm-hmm. you're working against him and you're defeating him left and right.
Mm-hmm. That was actually my second question because he just got assigned to be the interim pastor of my church.
Your old pastor that did this to you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. And so I wrote an account saying pretty much everything that happened, and I sent it to the pastoral search committee and said that, you know, I'm stepping away from everything. I can't be in church. I can't be anywhere near him. And so part of me just feels like a coward for doing that.
Mm. It is not cowardice to recognize danger and to choose a safer path. You have done what you could to address the evil in the midst there. And that evil is being allowed to continue. And so I would pray about it and consult with your wise people about it. But it is not cowardice to protect yourself from unsafe people.
And you spoke the truth. And you gave a reason. Cowardice would just be to cut and run and not do anything. But you said, hey, I can't participate in this, and here is why. That is a profound act of courage.
The Bible actually says a wise person sees danger and takes a different route. Of course, sometimes we're called to face danger, and you have.
What was their response when you said, I'm going to withdraw because I can't be part of this? What was the response to that?
So about 15 people received this report, and 5 of them just responded with so much love, and I didn't expect that. And then one of them, who was the person who assigned him to our church, pretty much said that, was like, I sympathize with you, but the words that he used was, your narrative, your account of things, and then pretty much spoke his praises, the pastor's praises, and all his other attributes of why pretty much like people who stuck it out at the former church applaud him, and he did a really great job there.
Let me just tell you what I would expect a healthy pastor would have done. When the issue that you had came up and someone told him, we have this person that we really trust. She's part of our ministry, but she was with you before, and she's going to resign because she can't support you. She has all these problems. What I would have expected from a godly man to say, oh, yes, I remember that. I want to meet with her. Maybe we could get a couple of you, a woman, a man. I would just love to talk with her and hear what her concerns were from her. And, you know, she had some valid points back then, but I've made some changes. I want to share that with her. See, that's what I think, that's what I call brilliant humility. It's brilliant because it's a strategy that never, ever fails. And it's a brilliant humility because people see that. What a sad thing for the response to be what it is. So I'm gonna send you healing is a choice. I'm gonna hope you can grieve through this. I would get with even a trauma specialist therapist you don't want this man taking up space. And given the response that you've been given, you know, it might be time to find another church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't judge this horrific chain of events and then never be in church leadership again. Keep going. Alice, final thought here.
Truth tellers like you get beat up and bruised. And so I also want you, if you haven't yet, to build your team, your sisterhood of women who will be there for you, because you're going to keep telling truth. I know that about you.
Yeah.
And you're going to need a team behind you, because you will face trouble and struggles with it.
You sure will. Uh-huh. And I'm glad you called, and we'll get you some materials that can help. I really believe that. You know, there is a term for people that don't listen to wise women who have this other power, in women's intuition. There's a reason that that's a phrase, is because it's real. And the term for people that don't listen or respond to that is a technical term called foolish. That's what it is. They're foolish. So I would hope and pray that something dramatically good would happen, and that there would be an intervention to where she could be in leadership and be comfortable with that. But also, I hope that perhaps it's time for her once again to move on and resolve this as she does. I'll send you healing as a choice. I'll send you take your life back. I hope and pray something good will happen. Well, we're out of time. Before we close out this time, let me just remind you, we've got some amazing workshops coming up. And maybe you don't have a sexual integrity problem, but maybe your husband does, your son, boyfriend, friend. September the 9th, it's this weekend, from Friday to Sunday, people have transformed the total direction of their lives by going to Every Man's Battle. And then we've got Repurposed Life, our Life Recovery online conference, September the 24th. Intimacy and Marriage, October 21, Restore, November the 11th. You know, thinking about what just happened there, here's what 1 Peter 5:6 says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. Brilliant humility there. That's the direction from Peter. So if we don't humble ourselves, we subject ourselves and we're open to humiliation. The protection from humiliation is humility. Also want to remind you about the Rhine River Cruise, October 6th through the 13th. Pretty amazing thing coming up. And then Lumina, November 3rd and 4th, Museum of the Bible. It's our new event. We created this event. It's a partnership with them. Nicole C. Mullen, Lauren Green McAfee, and Jen Wilkin. Great Bible teaching, great inspiration, and inspiring women to come and make a difference in your community with God's Word. The theme is Where Women Rise, and we want that to happen for you. In the meantime, if you need any help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number. 1-800-NEWLIFE. Don't forget, Life Recovery Today, we have a brand new, go to liferecoverytoday.net. That's where we are, new program every week. Thank you, Alice and Chris, and all of you who listen and
Thanks
support.
For listening.
God bless you.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.